We like paying broker fees because what we find is that the brokers have already vetted the borrowers. They're bringing us a loan package. And yeah, we're paying a couple bucks for it, but you know what? It just makes sense. They're easy. So we put a lot of our marketing energy into trade shows, into online marketing, in other marketplaces that will bring us, a nice broker network. Welcome to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lawrence from Mortgage Automator, joined by Joseph Fuchs. And today we have a great guest for you. Actually, it's our first guest from the US, Josh Lloyd from Yieldy. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you guys both for having me.
So for those of you who don't know, Yieldy, just to give you a little bit of background, they're an online marketplace for investors and borrowers. They offer high-yielding short-term real estate investments directly for investors without the brokerage fees. Josh, one question I always like to start off with is just tell us your background. Tell us how you got started in the private lending industry and what you're up to.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I need to steal your intro line because that was great. I need to just have that as my quick elevator pitch. So Yieldy's been around since 2019. We got started originally for me. I'm a technology guy. So I've been in the tech space my whole career. And I was really fortunate to start a couple of companies that did quite well. And we exited and I had some cash and I was looking to, put that out in some meaningful way to earn yield. And my family has a lot of background in real estate. So whether it was renting properties or fixing up properties or hard money lending as it was, I got a chance to spend some time with my dad and my grandfather prior to him passing away. And back in probably 2016 and had a long conversation with him. And I was like, look, I need to start doing some loans. And so they were both super helpful to me early on and taught me a lot about how to properly underwrite properties. And for me personally, I was doing a lot of residential properties just because they're a little bit easier to understand. And I was specifically doing them in areas that I understood, which for me meant South Florida mostly and a little bit of Atlanta because that's where I live now. A little bit along the way, I was still working for the parent company that had bought my previous company. It was called FitMetrics, and a company called MindBody acquired us. And I was getting kind of burnt out, especially selling two companies in 3 years. And I was like, I just don't really want to work that much right now. I need to take some time off. So getting enough passive income was really important to me. And specifically lending or hard money loans was super interesting to me because it was safe, right? It was backed by real estate. I had first position mortgage on the property. We never went above 70% loan to value. It just was common sense. It made sense. So about 2018, maybe the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, I was really fortunate, just weird timing or coincidence, but I went to a new gym that I was introduced to and I met a guy named Joseph Ashcody, and he and his family have been in real estate development here in the Atlanta area for pretty much about 50 years, doing all sorts of stuff, residential, commercial, multifamily. And they, have an ability and a team to underwrite all sorts of assets of property. So Joe and I got to talking, and from his point of view, his costs of construction at that point were really starting to go up higher and higher. And he was trying to kind of find different ways to leverage his money. And he found some local opportunities to do some private lending as well. So when he and I had met, he was first like, wow, man, how are you getting all these loans? And I was like, well, I'm not telling you that, but like, if you want to invest in them, that's a great idea. And at that point, I had a couple of friends of mine who were interested in investing money in these loans because they saw what I was doing. And so I let them participate in these loans just kind of as a favor. And once Joe and I started doing a few loans together, it quickly became obvious that there was a model that hasn't really been deployed here in the US that successfully, but between my technology and his real estate experience, we thought we could carve out a really nice niche. And that was kind of, as Lauren said at the beginning, in a way better way than I know how, to allow investors to come participate in these loans with us through an online marketplace, through technology to get high yield returns where we're making some money on the spread and of what we're servicing the loans at versus what we're paying those loans out at. And that was kind of the beginning. And a couple of years later, we're growing a lot. We've got a growth trajectory, both in terms of the investors and the borrowers. And we're really happy with the business progress so far.
So talk about your actual business and the deals that you're getting and you're writing. Number one, like how do borrowers find you? Is it direct to the borrower? Is it, do you deal with brokers that send you deals?
And like, what's your wheelhouse deal? Like what's your bread and butter type of loan? Or are you guys fairly open to doing all sorts of, because of the experience that Chris's family and Joe's family have?
Typically, bread and butter for us is 250K to 5 million. Anything in that sweet spot. We're in about 24 states actively right now. That'll grow. If it's got good loan to value, it's got a good borrower and a good story, whether it's commercial or residential, we can get it closed pretty quickly. We've got enough funds between ourselves and our investor pool that we have within our marketplace to really get those loans closed. And that's the biggest thing the borrowers that we work with are looking for, speed, right? It's not always because they have bad credit. It's actually most often not that they don't have bad credit. It's just that they have a reason they got to close fast. And as far as how we get the deals, it changes from a little bit over time. I love watching your guys put out on your Instagram stories a little bit of basic marketing and SEO tips and other things. That's obviously near and dear to my heart. That's my background. So do get a fair number of direct leads from borrowers through our marketing and through our SEO. But to be honest, what we find is that that's great, but those borrowers are either inexperienced or they're not really ready to make a commitment yet. We like paying broker fees because what we find is that the brokers have already vetted the borrowers. They're bringing us a loan package. And yeah, we're paying a couple bucks for it, but you know what? It just makes sense. They're easy. So we put a lot of our marketing energy into trade shows, into online marketing, in other marketplaces that will bring us, you know, a nice broker network.
And it is interesting to kind of talk about this because we're from Canada, you guys are from the US, and we've learned, you know, the market's a little bit different. But what Lawrence and I have learned is that when brokers, if you're training them and teaching them how to properly package these deals, the amount of time you're wasting is significantly lower than if you're dealing with a consumer who's like, yeah, I think I want to borrow this much. I think I want to buy this. I'm not even sure if I want to buy it yet. Got to check with my wife. And so you're spending all this time underwriting these deals, getting excited to fund them. You've got investors that are looking to put out cash and you're kind of like just spinning a lot of wheels. Whereas brokers, they'll just come in. If they figure it out or they get exactly what you're looking for and you build that rapport with them, it's just like in and out. It's like a factory, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, and brokers appreciate a fast no as much as they do a yes, honestly, because they don't want to have their time wasted. We can look at a deal. We can run it through our very basic underwriting algorithms and just be like, yeah, this is just not going to make any sense. We're never going to get there. So, you know, good luck. Hopefully you'll find somebody else who can. On the other hand, the ones that do make sense, we can typically do our basic diligence of looking at a property, say, and the borrower up front be like, within 24 hours, have a term sheet to them. So they love that too. And then get into our operational processes. But that also, we continue to streamline on a daily basis to get these things closed within a week, if we can.
Can you expand on online marketplace? Do people go somewhere to see the deals that you offer? Do you post them somewhere for maybe investors who have not invested with you before, but they're seeing deals that they're looking at saying, oh, maybe you could dip my toe in, per se? Like, where do people find your deals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm going to answer that question in two ways. And before I talk about the marketplace itself, one thing that I think might be helpful to the people listening to this that was a shock, frankly, to us was that I like to surround myself by good companies and agencies that are really good at what they do, right? Like we don't have the expertise in house to do everything. So we're like, hey, we want to, you know, software platforms included. Every online marketing company I spoke to said, nah, Instagram's a waste of time. No one's going to care. Nobody's going to care. Well, actually, they were completely wrong. So what I'm finding is that on our Yield the Instagram page, if you properly have a good social marketing company or can do it yourselves that puts these offerings out there, that you talk about your knowledge of the space, you talk about why this just makes sense. And it really does just make sense to these kinds of loans. If you're looking for something with good yield and good high interest rate, it makes a lot of sense. And then we, as the owners of the company, reshare those on our stories. And then people follow up with us. The amount of leads of investors that see that and come talk to us is actually way higher than I ever imagined, to be honest.
Interesting.
As far as the marketplace itself goes, Lawrence, so you know, this is also interesting. So to be an accredited investor, and for the moment, Yieldy only works with accredited investors. That may change over time, but that's how we are today. The sign-up process, it can be annoying and daunting, and it, you know, depending on where you're putting your money. So anyone who's invested money in a real estate deal or an equity deal or anything, maybe a technology deal, it's a lot of paperwork and just to subscribe to get started. So one of the first things we wanted to tackle was making that as simple and painless as possible. So I know this is going to sound crazy, but we make the sign-up form sounds, seems sexy, right? So it's just easy and you get through it. And on the back end of that, you DocuSign a couple things, you get an automated email, you're ready to roll basically. So once that happens, whether you're a prospect that maybe has talked to us or whether you're actually a signed up investor with Yieldy, put it on our Instagram that we have a new offering. We'll put it out via email and we'll always put it out to our existing investor base first and then to prospective investors second. So they have a chance to kind of look at the loan and gobble it up if it makes sense. They get the email before the loan's available to be consumed. We want to create a little bit of sense of urgency because there is a sense of urgency. These things get gobbled up usually within 24 hours when we put them out on the marketplace. We'll let them know what it is. We'll give them a day or two to look at the property, ask us any questions, and then we'll send a follow-up once it's time to actually invest. They'll invest right online, go through a pretty simple checkout process actually. And that includes the ability to take their money via wire or actually something new to us. We're just starting. We've had some good early success is investors in the United States, which may be different than Canada, can use their retirement accounts as an alternative vehicle and have those interest payments go back into their retirement accounts. So they choose, hey, I'd like to, you know, hit my Schwab account. I want to get a bank wire. The money pulls out. They sign their documents that give them, you know, a promissory note against that specific loan and they're good to go. And they get an interest payment immediately. Let's say today is August 17th. We typically pay our investors on the 10th. By the 10th of the month, if someone puts money in today, they'll get 13 days of interest for this month. And then each 10th thereafter, they'll get their monthly interest payments. It's pretty straightforward.
Is there a minimum amount of money people can buy into on a loan? So when you put an offering out there, let's use $1 million residential house as an example, because obviously $5 million, you might have more investors participating. What would you say the average amount of investors will participate in $1 million deal? And then again, what is the minimum amount someone can be like, they can't put in $5,000, can they?
Not currently. If we eventually go down the unaccredited path, but the amount of technology and being able to scale the business up from that side of things, we're not quite there yet. Like we look at that. So we don't really ever want to have more than 8 to 10 investors in any deal, no matter what. And that's really size dependent. So that would be like a $3 to $5 million deal. So using your $1 million residential deal, it's probably in the end of the day going to end up being somewhere around 5 investors, just based on our experience. Minimum investment amount would be around $50,000 in that loan. And usually what we find is people will put in $100,000 plus. And keep in mind, and one of the reasons this is super attractive to our investors is Joe and I specifically, we look at these loans that we're going to put our own money in them because we do put our own money in them. That's why we started the business to begin with. So we might put our money in a loan and only make 75% of that loan available. But these loans get gobbled up pretty quickly, especially if the rates are good and they understand it.
I'm assuming you commit on these loans even before you're going after investors. So you're basically saying, if nobody wants this deal, I'm taking it personally.
Well, he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, correct. Pretty much. Correct. Yeah, Joe and I and Chris and Mike and we'll fund these loans up front. And that's really what the business model is. And then we'll quote unquote sell off a piece of it. Right. But where we differ than a lot of, and I don't know how it is in Canada, I guess it's worth a conversation over a drink. But in the United States, I would say the majority of the lenders that I interact with are, and I say this nicely, glorified brokers in a lot of ways. So they've got a little bit of money or their table funding deals with a larger institutional lender. And so they'll originate that loan. They're good at originating loans, but they'll sell it right at close of that loan.
They're not keeping it on their balance sheet.
Yeah.
Is that called shadow loans or something like that?
Table funding.
Okay.
Yeah. And sounds attractive. And we will do that for sure on loans that are outside of our wheelhouse. If there's a loan that just doesn't make a lot of sense for us, maybe the LTV is not within our parameters, but it is within partner. You know, there's a couple of folks that we'll work with, or if it's a larger deal than we're comfortable with that we can raise the funds, we'll do something like that. But for the most part, for our loans, we want them on our balance sheet. It's half our revenue, frankly.
What would you say your biggest challenge is currently in the business?
So our business is like a seesaw. Depending on the day of the week, we have too many loans or too much cash or too little cash. So I think every two-sided marketplace, no matter what you're doing, goes through this problem, which is why you get it down. It's a good problem to have. And I would say the second thing, and this isn't necessarily a challenge on a daily basis, but it's important. We've created a lot of technology around how we underwrite loans and scoring those loans out. And unless there's a really, really good reason for it, we won't go outside of our lending parameters because that will keep us out of trouble. So making sure we do have enough good loans, you know, we always love good loans. And sometimes it ebbs and flows with what we get.
rates and fees, what should people expect when coming to you guys?
We're not the cheapest, but we're the fastest. It's time's money. I would say right now our average rates on a loan are 10 to 14%, averaging around 12 pretty consistently over the last year. We'll go down from that certainly for a good borrower or a good deal. And on the origination fee side, anywhere around, just again, depending on the deal, probably averages around two points of origination fees. One thing is we're very transparent about our fees. We don't really charge any other hidden fees. I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to pay. On that side, as far as our investors go, we make about a 3% spread for servicing the loan. So if we're getting 12, we're giving our investors 9. And that's why it's so attractive and they understand it and they're in first position on these loans.
For sure. And I'm assuming like the investors love that they get to pick their own deals, right? It's not like you're going to a fund and here's my money and whatever happens, happens. It's they're looking at specific loans. They're able to underwrite them themselves, make an educated decision based on what they feel, and they can either opt in or wait for the next one.
100%. It's a mix. Some of our investors are very hands-on. They understand the real estate market. For example, I've got guys only want to invest in Florida. Why? They live there. They understand the market. I've got guys here in Atlanta. They love the market here in Atlanta because they understand it. Some guys are in the commercial real estate business. They won't touch it if it's residential. They don't understand it. They don't want anything to do with it. Some guys are just like, you know, some people are just like, just whatever you guys think is best. Or if you have your money in it, that's good enough for us. And that goes back to that point. If we're willing to do these loans, it's, we know our money's going in these loans.
Do you guys prefer to write a lot of deals that are smaller in size or big deals, a big deal? You're good with it if you like the deal.
So, you know, that's a really good question. So when I started the business, and I think it was probably a little bit of my dad's influence on me, it was, hey, smaller deals won't get you hurt, which is true. But what's also true is that the amount of work it takes to close and subsequently service a loan is identical, whether it's a $200,000 loan or $2 million loan.
Yep.
So that was more Joe's influence on me. So I get a little bit of both. But in any event, no, we're pretty happy if it's in our wheelhouse. I personally, that $750K to $1 million loan, 60% loan to value, good borrower, I'll write it all day long. I love it.
How much have you guys been growing year over year, even though I know it's, you guys started in 19? And what's your plan from where you are today to like, how big do you guys want to get? Is your goal to be like $1 billion? Half a billion? Like, what's your vision for the company moving forward?
So great question. And I think, you know, this is the one interesting thing about growing an online two-sided marketplace. I think success for us ultimately is going to come in the number of investors we have on our platform, because if our marketing and our efforts towards getting those investors get us to 1,000 investors, an average investor is at $150,000 invested with us. That's over $1 billion. And so
$1 trillion. I was trying to run the numbers in my head.
I cheated because I've done it before. And I'm probably wrong now that I said that out loud.
No, you're good.
But that's how I look at it. So it's like, what are the marketing efforts that we can be putting into getting these investors? As far as, you know, the growth, and you're right, it's always funny. This is my, I guess, third big sized startup. And I love the first year or two because you're like, I have 1,000% growth. Well, yeah, when you start at $1, that's pretty easy. But actually, Joe and I were doing loans before we got started in 19. So really, you go back prior to Yieldy starting, it's really history back to about 2017. So we've got about 4 years of history. So the day we came into Yieldy, we already had revenue, which was a unique experience to find myself in. I would say like last year, for sure, we doubled in size, including there being COVID. Now, the one incredibly interesting challenge, or I don't know if it's a challenge as much, I guess it's more of a modeling issue, is these loans are 12 months. So theoretically, if 100% of my loans pay off over the course of 12 months, I got to re-get that business and then re-get double that business to double in size. That is not the easiest thing to do. So we've modeled that 50% of our loans will pay off, 50% of our loans are going to sign extensions and renew, and then we'll continue to double in size by bringing on new loans. And so, Lawrence, going back to the size question, when you increase your average loan size, which was around 275 2 years ago, to more like $600,000 now, that makes that a little bit easier, but that won't last forever. So it's just continued growth, basically. And I would say $500 million to $1 billion, Joe.
Is where you want to be.
Yeah.
And you're 50-50 in terms of paying out and extending. Are you finding that's where you're at currently? Are you finding that half of the people extend and half pay out?
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, we understand there's a reason somebody came to us, not to a traditional bank. There's 10 reasons, but we absolutely understand that at the end of a loan, what we find, and I'm sure a lot of other lenders find too, is 2 weeks before the loan is due, the borrower wakes up and goes, oh wait, my loan's about to mature. What am I supposed to do? So we try to, even though you send them, notice, I'm sure you guys went through that. You send them notices, you do all the things you're supposed to do, but we try to work with them, try to figure it out. If they're a good borrower, they've never missed a payment. We look at the property. We still like it. Their taxes are current. Their HOA is good. If it's a residential property, we're like, yeah, we would do this loan again today. No problem. We'll re-up that loan, do an extension. So yeah, so far it's about half and half.
You've exited a couple of businesses yourself. What kind of got you started in the lending business? You're dealing with a lot of investors currently. I'm assuming some of these people are wealthy people who have a lot of money to invest. What is some of the best money-related advice that either you personally can give or that you've heard over time dealing with people with money?
I think that everyone's a little different. For us, I think the number one thing that helps us is the fact that we have our own money in it. So it's not like we're inexperienced and just like, hey, throw some money over the table and we'll promise you some outlandish returns. But I think in general, having two technology startups, and you guys obviously know this better than anybody, but other folks that don't, like, the technology companies eat quick. I mean, our burn rate at my last couple companies was a lot. And so, keeping confidence with your investors to continue to give money is incredibly important. And so at the end of the day, for me, it was always, and it has always been, transparency. Here's what's going on. Here's what you can expect. Here's what we're doing. Always willing to pick up the phone, talk about if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Either way, we'll have a conversation and always be transparent, because that trust, once it's eroded, it's gone.
I think that once they invest in a few deals and they see the money coming back, for the first, they're nervous. It's always easy to be in the driver's seat, putting your own money into your own deals that you vetted because you're in complete control. But when you're in the passenger seat and you're depending on that person or that company to manage that money for you, it's always nice to get it back. And I think once you do get it back, you're quite eager to redeploy it very quickly after that, just because now the people you've done business with have proven that not only they can make you that money, but they can actually return it the safe, headache, semi-headache free way. Now you've built that trust.
100%. Actually, I have two thoughts on what you just said. I could not agree more. And it goes both ways. If you put a little bit of money in and you start seeing that return, then, and you see the reports that are automatically generated, thank you, Mortgage Automator, and you see some of these things, you're like, hey, wait, that was easy. This is my favorite investment. We get that quote a lot from people because they're like, God, this is just easy. And they look forward to our emails. I'm like, yeah, I want to give you more money. But I have a funny story. One of our investors actually had been with us. He's in pretty good sized loans. He's a friend of family, so it was somebody that had pre-built trust anyway. But nonetheless, he actually, a loan paid off, and he was like, hey, that's great. I need that money for something. Can you wire it back? And we're like, yeah, whatever, no problem. Sent the money back. He kept the money for 5 minutes. He goes, no, I was just kidding. I just wanted to make sure that process would work. he sent us the money back to put in the next loan. So that was actually pretty funny. This is where technology comes in, right? You take the idea of transparency and communication and where is my money, being able to see individual loans that's in, seeing the history of all that. And that's a big part of what we focus on every day.
Industry is small. Obviously, you probably know your competitors, who's doing loans in your area. What separates you from the group? What makes you guys different?
The market, first of all, is humongous. So the industry is small. That is absolutely true. But the size of the market itself is large. So that's one obvious thing. Two is broker relationships. We have had so many conversations with brokers that have been burnt by a lender lying to them or not being able to get to the closing table. We've been in situations where brokers have not had a direct lender relationship. So they went to another broker who had another broker. So we end up at the closing table with 3 and 4 brokers. And then we introduce ourselves to all of them to say, that's cool. And the next time, just go to us directly. And they're like, man, this was such a smooth loan. So a lot of that is also comes back to a little bit of what we do with Mortgage Automator, is we take advantage of the platform to automate every possible communication we can, so that the borrower, the broker, everybody is in touch. So it's really almost like what Joseph was saying on the investor side. Hey, I've done a deal with these guys. I get it. It's the same thing on the broker and the borrower side. So once a broker is like, man, these guys closed this loan. They did in 7 days. They did everything they said they would do. They'd answer the phone. And I'm just going to do that. And then they start telling their other friends, and it just kind of creates
that snowball effect for sure.
Yeah. And I will say also, as a lender, we'll look at a loan and go, man, we had a $9 million loan as a, for instance, and it was a no-brainer, but it's just outside of our wheelhouse at the moment to close a $9 million loan. We had all the diligence, we had everything, and the amount of time that the institutional guys that are in the hard money space, they're not like, you know, going to like a regular bank, like they want these loans, they want originators. They go to the trade shows begging for originators, and then they come to us and I'm like, cool, I've got this loan. Well, I don't know. I got to get back to you. 3 months. I'm like, my guys, that's not going to happen. And that's also a big separation for us. We tell you we'll do a deal. We'll tell you we won't do a deal, but we'll tell you fast.
So it's safe to say you're usually people's first call because they're not going to waste time going to you. It's either it's going to be a yes or it's going to be a no and they can move on.
Yeah, we try our best. Yeah.
You've been doing loans for several years now. Is there one that sticks out in the top of your head, your most memorable deal that you've done to date?
I would say memorable in a good way. I had a guy, Joe and I had a guy in Augusta, Georgia, here, you know, pretty close to Atlanta, about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta, you know, the Masters tournament. Everyone knows Augusta, I guess. Sure. And he was in a pinch. He owned a property in downtown Augusta. It was on the corner on Broad Street in a great area. The Augusta downtown area is kind of coming back and, you know, doing good things. And he had a second mortgage with the original guy he bought the property from, and they didn't record anything. They didn't document it. It actually was recorded, but it wasn't documented how it was supposed to work. The guy stopped taking his payments, and his first position bank, I think it was Coastal Carolina Bank, if I remember correctly, was like, he called his loan. He's like, you know, we're out of the commercial. We're not giving you this loan anymore. You better find another lender. And so we worked with him, and we kind of got to the finish line, and the guy in second position, we couldn't get a payoff. Like, he wouldn't cooperate. He's just like, I'm going to take this property back. And so we actually called the guy in second position, we called his attorney. And I felt like I forgot, what was that show with Joe, that movie with Joe Pesci years ago? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Which one's
I'm asking the Canadian guys. This is just terrible. But where he goes into the small town, and I think Marissa Tomei was in that movie as well. Great movie. He was like a New York lawyer. And
yeah, you're talking about My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny. Yeah. I swear I was
They play those movies in Canada too, though, by the way. Just
want to know. Oh, okay, got you.
It only did come out like 2 months ago here, but yeah, we do eventually get there.
It's fine though, because actually it's still relevant to Canada, so sure. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get on the phone with this guy, and I'm telling you, like, the Southern accent of Southern accents, right? This guy. And, but I said, look, you know, you've kind of got one shot at this. We're willing to take your guy out. We're willing to take the bank out. We like the property. The borrower's a good guy. They just got into a disagreement. They couldn't figure this out. I said, just give me a number. I said, if you give me a number, I'll think I can make it happen. And they settled on a number, and I called my borrower, and we made it happen. We got the second guy paid off, and everyone was really happy. And I think it speaks to why I like that story. It's an older story now for us, but we're like that. That's just kind of how we are. If it makes sense and the deal makes sense and we like the borrower, we'll help you out as much as possible. We just ask you to make your payment.
Not afraid to get your hands dirty and do the work.
No, it's just, you know, we're not. So I like that story. I think that's a good one.
Very good. Very good. Listen, we definitely appreciate you coming on. For people listening, just to go over everything, they're not just in Georgia. They're not just in Florida. You're in how many states were you saying?
24.
Yeah, 24 currently.
24 states. Happy to take deals. And where do people send deals to you? How do they get in contact with you?
They can go to our website, or they can email us at info@yieldi.com, yieldi.com. And they'll get to deal with our head of origination, which is Joe's brother, Chris. And he's a pleasure to deal with always.
He is.
I concur.
No, listen, you guys are great guys, and I would encourage people who have not dealt with you to just give you a shot. Send them one doable deal, see what the process is like. I have a suspicion you're going to like dealing with them. So don't be shy. Go to their website, flip over a deal, let them look at it, let them fund your loans, see how everything goes.
Make your payments on time, please.
Make your payments on time.
That's all that
matters. We even have interest reserve to help out, you know, and our software helps us with that too.
do you do a lot of interest reserves on your loans? If people request that, that's okay. You don't mind?
You know, it's actually the other way around. When COVID happened, we were just dabbling our toes in that idea of interest reserves on these loans before COVID started. And then we sat on a lot of the webinars around dealing with forbearance agreements and around how to deal with interest reserves. And we were kind of looked at what the industry standards were. We felt like we were a little ahead of the curve in some ways on that. We were really happy to learn that. Honestly, we won't do a loan without 3 months of interest reserves under any circumstance at this point.
Interesting.
That, and we'll put it there as holding it, till the back of the loan if needed. In Mortgage Automator, I think it says it make the last three payments out of interest reserves, but regardless, we'll hold that there, but sometimes they do request the interest reserves to come out. The property is income producing right off the bat. That's probably what we'll net out is that 3 months. If they've got to do a little bit of work, because we'll do construction, fix and flip, all that stuff. If they got to do a little bit of work to get to revenue, we'll give them 6 months. And then sometimes we'll give them 12 months interest reserves. While we want to be at 70% loan to value on these properties, for the most part, varying on the property type, we're willing to go up just a little bit depending on the situation to try to help them out and cover some of those reserves. We don't want them to default. We want to help them and, ourselves.
And you guys go to the trade shows too, right? People can find you there if they want to meet you in person.
Yeah, I was told pretty much to find us just for the guys from Georgia that look like they're from not Georgia. So yeah, we go to the trade shows and we'll be, I think, in Las Vegas, Austin, San Diego, Vegas again. We're about to run a gauntlet here. I don't even remember where some of them are, but
we'll be with you all the way through that gauntlet.
We're ready.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.